in the motel business. On the East Coast, blocked from the beach. When I say motel, certain things come to your mind. It was all one story. There were actually multiple buildings. One was a standalone cottage. Another one was two apartments connected, so like a duplex cottage. Very mom and pop kind of situation, not your two-story rectangular situation that looked industrial or commercial. But nonetheless, it's a motel business. People rented rooms or apartments. Night or two, but more often a week at a time, sometimes multiple weeks at a time. And there were certain people who came back year after year after year for the same weeks and would stay in the same cottage or the same apartment. I was born in March. By the end of May, we were living in the motel, and so every summer of my life, that's where we were. And I grew up with certain regular, recurring, repeat guests. Some, more than others, the relationship developed that I was excited when they were coming. One family in particular had at least four kids, two boys and two girls, I think. They required multiple places, and they were actually from Canada. And so they would speak to one another in French, but they would speak to us in English. And they had their own kind of culture and everything that was really cool. Though one aspect of their culture made me a little uncomfortable, but I kind of liked what went with that. When they showed up and got out of their car and I was there, every one of them hugged me and kissed me on each side of my face, including the guys. But they didn't do that to everyone they met. I don't know when it started because I was too young. But by the time I was old enough to remember or be uncomfortable with the fact that this guy was grabbing me and hugging me and kissing me on each cheek, I knew that people who are more than friends just arrived and we were going to be staying in the same location for the next couple of weeks. And they would invite me into everything that they were doing. Big meals. While at the beach, because my parents usually stay at the motel from a very young age. I was just up at the beach by myself, but usually had friends and family, or friends or family friends up there, like this family. And so it was an extra exciting part of the summer to have them around and to be welcomed into their family to a certain degree. Why do I bring that up? Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. This is our passage for this morning. We're going to finish 2 Corinthians. There's a command to greet here. We'll get to the kiss part in a minute. But there's a command to greet here, and the whole context has to do with a reception of one to another that's family. Oriented. It's different than the reception elsewhere. And the closest non-Christian earthly example I happen to have of that is that family who actually literally did kiss. But you understand the importance of greeting. You know what's involved, whether you've thought through it or not. And just think about, and you probably all have seen this, one point or another. You see two guys who, they're strangers to one another, but all of a sudden they see they're both wearing a jersey or a baseball cap or something for the same team. And especially if it's maybe a little bit of an underdog team, all of a sudden, these guys are like bros, man. They're like, oh, yeah, and they're all of a sudden, you're like, dude, you never knew each other before this. What's going on? Why that greeting? Oh, there's this commonality based on a sports team. There's a commonality, a natural one, among family. As disintegrated as the family might be getting in our culture and our country, still there's this understanding that family is supposed to be different. Family is supposed to be loyal and there for one another. You know, and like one of the last things you would expect of family is that they're going to court against one another. And yet, that's actually one of the first things we learn about the Corinthians back in 1 Corinthians. They were divided, taking one another to court, arrogant, holding things against one another, not dealing with that which should be dealt with. They weren't loving. That's why we have 1 Corinthians 13. And so for them, as we come to the end of 2 Corinthians, this greeting is not just, oh, you know, it's the end of a letter. Something has to be written here. So let me just, you know, write something. No, even this final greetings in your bold, uninspired heading is inspired by God through the Spirit, through Paul, to them. How does it relate to us? Well, what is it? It's a command to greet, and to greet in such a way that the common relationship and bond that is there because of who God is, Father, Son, and Spirit, and what God has brought about for every one of us. That still applies. Maybe we don't have the issues per se that the Corinthians were having, but we do well to give thought to our greetings. How we greet one another. The reality is that how we greet one another reveals what's on our hearts and our minds. Maybe not about the person you're greeting. I'm guilty of not greeting in a warm, welcoming way on many occasions. And some, not because I don't like the person I'm greeting or not glad to see them, but because I've got something else on my heart and mind, you know, looking at my own navel, woe is me, or this, that, or the other thing, right? But at the end of the day, the reality is, and you know this, a greeting reveals what's important to us, what's on our hearts and minds. So we do well as we close out these final verses to consider, how are we greeting one another? Why are we greeting one another that way? How should we greet one another? And why should we greet one another that way? Join me in prayer, then we'll read these few verses. Lord God Almighty, Holy Father, Sovereign Lord, Maker of heaven and earth, we did not make ourselves exist. We do not give ourselves breath. And though we are here living and breathing and seeing and reading and hearing, as we are for life itself, we are at your mercy for eternal life. Have mercy upon us. Grant us eyes to behold you, to understand you. Give us understanding as we are in your word, Father. Speak to our hearts. Divide joint and bone. Get to our soul and change us. Specifically, that we would greet one another in such a way that our greeting reflects your glory and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll read from 11 to 14, but we're going to focus on 12, 13, and 14. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our first verse here for this morning is verse 12, and it's a command, an instruction. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm calling it a family greeting. Why? Because verse 11 is yet another reminder that those who were receiving this letter the first time were brothers and sisters. not biologically, not by physical birth, but divinely, through the rebirth, being born from above by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. It's also a family greeting because the command here to greet involves a kiss. And the only ones really who regularly kissed in that setting were family. So it is a command to greet one another as family. And the kiss is even told to be holy. In other words, this is a greeting that is set apart unto the Holy One, to reflect the very One who has put us in the position to even greet one another that way. What about the kiss? No indication that in the synagogues and in Judaism they were doing that, except the very guy who went out from the supper with Jesus, as was just read from us, would later come to the garden and greet Jesus with a kiss. Was it one cheek, both cheeks? Was it on the lips? Whatever it was not a attractional kind of intimate kind of kiss, but a greeting that expressed familiarity and relationship. None of the other guys who weren't around Jesus all the time, especially not the ones who came to arrest him, were probably ready to do that, though Judas was doing it, and it was through betrayal. Point being, there's some indication of a kiss, and here's a kiss among a guy to a guy, and it's a family type of relational thing, but we don't know much else about it. Do we have to do the kiss part? I would say no. Just like we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we don't use bread nor wine. But we do celebrate the Lord's Supper with a form of bread and a form of grape juice that is red because it's symbolic of Christ's body, the bread, His body, giving His life, shedding His blood. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and go, well, we don't really know exactly what the kiss is. We don't know what to do. Was it just guys to guys and women to women, or was it both? What about the young? What about the old? The little, the bigs, both cheeks? What is it? We don't know, so I'll just forget about it and go, this doesn't apply. It absolutely does apply. Because the command is to greet. What comes after that tells us what kind of greeting this is supposed to be. Supposed to be a different kind of greeting that we would give just someone else out on the street. It's a greeting that expresses, symbolizes, communicates that we're family. It's different as we are different. That's what holy is. It's different. It's set apart. So those of you who are nervous, I was going to say you better start kissing one another. Breathe easy. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I am biased. I'm more English and Irish than I am Italian. So, you know, not big on the kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy, right? So maybe I'm wrong on that. Either way, at the end of the day, we can't blow off these final words and go, we're good, okay, whatever. How are we greeting one another? Sunday morning? Outside of Sunday morning? If I show up at your work, would your greeting to me indicate to your coworkers, or if you showed up to one another's job site, or a cul-de-sac party, or other thing you're having with lots of people around, but someone from here shows up, will your greeting indicate others like, well, who's this person? This just isn't just another neighbor. This isn't just another coworker, right? Let's evaluate our greeting, as well as keeping in mind, verse 13, all the saints greet you. Again, the word saints there show us what the context is here. This isn't, oh yeah, we like the same team, we both like surfing, we both like sushi, whatever. Right? The common ground has to be with the fact that we're all saints. You know what that word means? Holy ones. What kind of greeting was it supposed to be? A holy greeting. Set apart ones. There's no special class of Christians, the saints. Everyone who by grace, through faith in Christ, has become a child of God is also a saint. And it's not just the saints you know and see around you in your location. The family is ultimately really big. Some of that family might even grab you and give you a kiss in each cheek. They even speak languages you don't understand. But we have more in common with a man or woman from another culture who speaks a language we don't speak than we do with others who aren't holy ones by the grace of Christ. Reminder here that it's not just us, we're not the only ones. Specifically for the Corinthians, this is a little bit of a reminder, as they were thinking highly of themselves, even, you remember, evaluating Paul and finding him wanting. Not really quite the apostle that they needed. They had their super apostles who were up to snuff. Right? Guess what? They're not the only church. And as they've been treating one another badly and in a way that dishonors the Holy One, Paul reminds them to greet one another in a way that honors the Holy One. And remember, they're not the only holy ones. But even down to the greeting, if we're holy ones, that's to be reflected. And then we get to verse 14. What a verse! It's the last one, too, in that little final greeting thing, right? To just blow right through it. Paul's point in this verse is not to say, oh, hold on a second here. Let me jump back in, and I'm going to teach you something that's true about God. He is triune, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's not explicitly teaching that here, but it's here. The Spirit's even mentioned, not always in his final greetings or his introductions. And this final greeting is very similar to how this letter began. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here he ends this way. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He's not trying to teach theology or doctrine here, but it's there. The fact that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one, is there. The implications to that are more than I'm going to be able to draw out and keep you awake. But first of all, God is not simply one. You know what single people are when they're all by themselves and have no one else around? What are they? What is it? Yeah, you can say it out loud. Well, what are you? Alone! Lonely! Maybe you're not lonely. Some of you like me, but you are alone. God is not alone. God is one, but He's not alone. So this command comes from a God who is not alone. I don't know if I want to say it's a family, but there's a relationship there. All three. Perfect, intimate relationship, because they're also one and the same. They're three distinct and yet inseparable persons. Why bring up the Spirit also? What brings up the Trinity? Again, he's not explaining it here or declaring it. It's mentioned in this final farewell greeting. God never calls us to something that He isn't. And He didn't make us because He needed someone to love. But in Christ, we're called to be a part of and share in that loving relationship that existed between Father, Son, and Spirit before what we know to be ever came to be. And that all who partake in that are sharing in just that. And even the word order is a little interesting here. He doesn't start out with the Father and then the Son like he did at the beginning of the letter. He starts out with the Son, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, sovereign one, in control, Jesus, given name, means Yahweh saves, Christ, Greek name, Greek title, for the title Messiah, which means God's anointed one. Grace. May His grace be with you. You who are to greet one another in a holy manner that reflects that you are a family eternally by a divine work of God through Christ. What is grace? I'm going to read you just a couple lines from a Puritan prayer. O Lord, I am astonished at the difference between my receivings and my deservings. Between the state I am now in my past gracelessness, between the heaven I am bound for and the hell I merit. Who made me to differ but thee? That means you. For I was no more ready to receive Christ than were others. I could not have begun to love you unless you had first loved me, or been willing unless you had first made me so. Oh, that such a crown should fit the head of such a sinner. Such high advancement be for an unfruitful person. Such joys for so vile a rebel. Infinite wisdom cast a design of salvation into the mold of purchase and freedom. Let wrath deserved be written on the door of hell, but the free gift of grace on the gate of heaven. I know that my sufferings are the result of my sinning, but in heaven both shall cease. That's grace. That's an understanding of grace. That my receivings, what I'm getting, are not what I deserve. I don't get what I deserve. What didn't come freely, though it comes freely to me, it was bought for by Christ. The Son of God, eternally the Son of God, one with Father and Spirit, without body, willingly took on a body and came in the form of man, meaning fully man, became a man, born of a virgin, real baby. Got one of those at home now, huh? Right? All the crying, all the diapers, everything else. Grew into a man, real man, flesh and blood, fully God. Lived the life of perfect obedience to His Heavenly Father. And then willingly, died by torture, that all who believe in Him would be called children of God, that they would receive forgiveness and be reconciled to God, adopted sons and daughters, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a reminder to a bunch of bickering, arrogant, divided saints, as the Corinthians were. What a reminder to us as we consider how are we greeting one another? Why should we greet one another in a way that is different, that expresses a relationship that is not physically explainable? Because of the undeserved, lavish kindness of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And the love of God. Remember, love's not I really, really like something because what I get out of it. That's what we mean when we talk about chocolate, surfing, coffee, whatever. Tiddlywinks, you know what tiddlywinks are? Shiny things we put on our shelf. Right? sacrificial service for the benefit of other. God demonstrates His own love for us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. They're inseparable. Through the undeserved kindness of Christ, it's also the undeserved kindness of God, the grace of God. But here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to know the love of God. And it don't stop there. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Which is already true for brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're saints, if by the undeserved kindness of God we've come to believe in Jesus as no mere man, but the Son of God, who died and was buried and raised from the dead because He was sinless but took our sin upon Himself, then we share in the Holy Spirit. Again, this is a pointed reminder for the Corinthians who thought that to have certain gifts of the Holy Spirit made you something above and beyond and better than others who had other gifts of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Level ground before the cross. Same Spirit indwells and seals, Ephesians chapter 1. Check it out later. Everyone who by the grace of God has come to faith in Christ. For some, there's a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. That gets you something else. And you may not have to have that to be saved, but you really should be seeking that. Or, everyone's got gifts, but some gifts. And those of us who have certain gifts, you share in the same Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity. And you share in Him together. Blood's pretty thick. Family is special. That's why you put up with things that maybe sometimes we even shouldn't. Right? But guess what? This life comes to an end. Yet the bond, the blood, the sharing that those in Christ share in now will continue to be shared in. Jesus, so there's this woman. She married a guy. He died. Married his brother. He died. Brother. 7 husbands in this life. Whose wife will she be in heaven? Remember that parable? They're trying to trap him on the resurrection and Pharisees and the Sadducees. But what does He say? What is there not in heaven from that parable? No marriage. There is no closer, more intimate, in every way, shape, and form relationship known to man than husband and wife. Matter of fact, that's how you have family, with husband and wife. And yet Jesus said in heaven, there's no marrying or giving in marriage. But there is a heaven, there is a resurrection. He tells me, not the power of God. God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The most lasting relationship is not of marriage. It's of the fellowship that there is in the Spirit. For those who know the love of God by the grace of Christ. And if that's what we share in, how we greet one another should reflect that. Either way, how we greet one another will reflect what's on our hearts. I ignore you, don't give you the time of day. Maybe you think I don't like you, or maybe I'm just too busy focusing on the fact that I had a bad night's sleep and my back hurts. Or I'm really hungry. Or someone else, just whatever, or this or that. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I am not valuing you the way I should. But when our mind is on the fact that here we are, by the grace of Christ and the love of God, with the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and not everyone shares in that, those who share in that, we got something. What happened here a few years ago? Fire. Guess what? People who lost everything in that blink of an eye on that night sort of get each other a little bit and relate to each other. in a way that everyone else that was inconvenienced by the smoke and the traffic and the change of things just don't. And those who didn't tend to be insensitive and weird. And those of us who have look at each other and we get it, right? Guess what? I know you don't like hearing this. But it's all going to burn. It is. It will all pass away. Who on the other side of that is going to have anything in common? Two groups of people. Those who knew the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in his life, and those who didn't. And those who know it now, among many other ways, are to reflect that reality, specifically and particularly in how we greet one another. I would like to tell you exactly how to do that. But even if I did, that wouldn't accomplish anything, because after all, Judas did kiss Jesus, did he not? But it was a kiss of betrayal. At the end of the day, the issue isn't whether or not you hug me or I hug you, or you hug one another, you give it on each cheek, or you give a funky handshake or a fist bump or an elbow bump. And I confess, I am greeting schizophrenic now. I don't even know how to greet anyone, you know. Some guy came to buy something off me from Craigslist, and we walk up to each other and it's like, I don't even know what to do. Some of them are like, they want to shake the hand, some of them are fist bumps, some are like whatever, and I don't even know. And to be honest, as small as we are, we're big enough that I'm not even sure with you guys how to do it. But at the end of the day, that's not the ultimate issue. The issue isn't did you and I hug each other or not? Did we shake hands and say, what is the Catholic thing we used to do? We used to stand up and we have to say, peace be with you and also with you. I did that every Sunday till I was like 14. You know what it meant to me? Nothing. Zilch. Nada. So the issue isn't the specific what you do, but what you're communicating and why are you communicating it. Which is a bit related to, and I confess, a little bit of a side trail. That gets back to even why we're here this morning. And why you show up every Sunday. Do you show up to get? Yeah, and there's some truth to that. But we should be showing up to give. I was in a conversation with someone recently. Someone used to do a lot of upfront serving on Sunday morning. They mentioned that they got to spend a year or two just in the audience. I almost choked. You are not an audience. This is not a performance. If there's any analogy, this is a family gathering. Those who aren't in the family are welcome. They can come. But this is a family gathering. This is for the family. And the relationships here should be different. Not immediately necessarily. Things take time, especially at the current situation where there's a quote-unquote church in every corner. Everybody and their brother likes to say they're Christian, including just about every president we've ever had. And I don't know about that one. We don't even know what a Christian is, what an evangelical is, and aren't they all the same? Sure, it takes time, some discernment, whatever. At the same time, though, this isn't simply, this is what we do every Sunday. This isn't a performance. This isn't just, you know, some public thing, and if I don't like this one, I'll go down the road to the next one. You know, I don't... Right, this is a family thing. Not a family because we have the same mother. But because we have the same father. Who adopted us. And the purchase price was the shed blood of his spotless lamb. Will we have differences? Yes. Will we have bad days? Really selfish, ornery days? Yes. Will we offend one another and sin against one another? Yes. We'll be just as messy as the Corinthians at times. But at the end of the day, if our faith is in Christ, we are related to one another in a way that will never end. And we must consciously, thoughtfully work to think on that and reflect that right down to the smallest, seemingly smallest insignificant detail that's not insignificant. And that's how we greet one another. Whether it's a handshake, an elbow bump, or the cha-cha. What's going on in your heart? How are you viewing one another? For those of us in the 9 o'clock hour, we just finished up Philemon. Philemon was supposed to accept back as a brother in Christ. Someone who stole from him, was disloyal to him, ran from him. How in the world did you do that? Because that's the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason I'm here. I'm only here by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, I am astonished at the difference between what I'm getting and what I deserve. When that's our understanding, it will be reflected in our greetings. As well it should be. That's what's to make us stand out. What was the new command Jesus gave around that very table with the one who would later betray him as a kiss? Love. Join me in prayer. Father, we stand here knowing your love because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. May that ever be on our hearts and minds, transforming our thinking and our relating to each other and to everyone. Father, give us insight, grace, wisdom, discernment, and the details of how we greet one another and welcome one another, whether it be here on Sunday morning or other meetings or in homes. But whatever that looks like, Father, may it from beginning to end, starting with what's going on in our hearts, may it reflect you, our holy God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit. May it reflect the undeserved kindness of Jesus the Messiah, of your unconditional, selfless care for us, your love, and the Spirit at work in all of us. Grant this, Father, that you would be honored and glorified in our greeting, and that we would be blessed in greeting one another in a way that expresses who you are and how it is that we've come to know you by grace, through faith in Christ, by the work of the Spirit. Father, grant this, we ask, according to your mercy, in Jesus' name. Amen.